Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. You're listening to Roy and Friends, and today I've got a lot of friends here. The time is now 9 and 10 minutes. The date today is the 17th day of January. I can't believe I'm saying it. 17th day of January and the year is 2019. We're here at the studio with Liel Rimon, Peter Feldman, Moshe Starograd, and we've got also a guest by the name of
Marco Brigado.
Marco Brigado. I'm sorry that I couldn't pronounce the name properly. That's why Marco I could, but Brigado was a little bit of a problem for me. So Marco is here to tell us all about his experiences and his previous life. Am I right?
Yes, thanks for having me. It's a good privilege to be in the studio with you guys, and I just want to I'm here to participate and answer as many questions as you can throw at me.
Look, it's basically questions of, a lot of us have kids and I worry about the destination, about where the kids are going. And it's nice to expose that part of your, of where kids are going, you know what I'm saying? So that's going to be later in the show. So Marco will be able to answer some questions about drugs. So, he was a drug addict. He was a drug dealer. And, we can see both sides of the coin from the drug side. And, so lovely morning today. Tomorrow I'm going to be, landing in Israel. So hopefully the weather won't be too cold there. Apparently it's bitterly cold.
Baya cold.
How
are you going to polish up on your Hebrew?
I can't polish on my Hebrew. My Hebrew is terrible. Terrible.
Your Hebrew is terrible.
Terrible. Okay. It's terrible.
I beg the differ. They
will understand
very
you.
Good Hebrew.
So anyway, today, it is Thursday morning. It's always a light. I love this show because it's nice and fresh. But this morning, you know, I drove with a roof open and it was so nice. The air was nice. No one tried to, to shoot me, or steal from me. When you drive a convertible, you actually have to have eyes in your back, in the back of your head, and you have to always keep a distance. I mean, it's really, really worry what you do. And today, no, I made it.
Why do you think they care about windows and roofs? And it's not a problem for them.
I keep nothing in the car.
Nothing.
Proper nothing. I was thinking today, my glasses, I thought they're going to snap my glasses or something will happen. It's impossible to drive and nothing will happen.
Not impossible to drive. Nothing's happened. If nothing's happened to you, thank goodness.
But I was away. The idea is...
You can drive with a helmet if you're driving.
No, you can. So, anyway, we're going to have a very, very nice show this morning. We're going to put a song and we're going to go right into it. So, the first song I'm going to put is something that really complements, the discussion we're going to have. So that's, I don't know if you like it, but you like that? I do. Lemon Tree.
If you missed Pawn Stars Unplugged, here's what you missed.
A guy being asked, would you cheat on your wife? You know, it's a normal question that the men are asked sometimes. So he replied, who else can I cheat? Come on, guys.
Catch Pawn Stars Unplugged, Wednesdays at 6 p.m.
Thank you for staying with us. The time is now 9 and 17 minutes. And we're here with Marco. Marco that will tell us everything about drugs and stuff. Before that, let's go to the advertiser. So we're here with Marco today. And I'd like you to I parked next to you and you look like the most average guy, you know, like
thanks.
Like, you know, like you don't look like you're not a drug dealer.
Thanks, Roy, you're ugly too.
No, but
he's not, Roy.
Not like the usual suspect. He doesn't look the part. You know, it doesn't look the guy like the drug dealer or,
doesn't look Nigerian, you mean?
I've got nothing against Nigerians.
No, me too.
I know you don't have, but I should have.
Why?
I don't know.
No.
All right. So anyway, it doesn't look Nigerian. No, it doesn't have the not the appearance, nor the talk. Not. It looks nice. It's got glasses even. It looks like a guy that just yeah, jump of university. Say, how's it? So anyway. Would you tell us your life story? I mean, in a few words, I mean, highline, outline.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think just to add to your point, not everybody, and I suppose that's the crazy thing about drugs is that when you get into it, not everybody looks the same, right? So yeah. Sometimes there's some bad looking people and there's some people that look pretty good that are pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's just the appearances. But for me, my life, you know, I grew up in a good Italian home, parents loved me, last born in a family of three children, spoiled rotten as a child. I had no reason to ever go to drugs. You know, I wasn't abandoned, I wasn't abused, I wasn't treated terribly. And that's the thing, right, is that we think that drug addicts are people that have had a bad life, a rough life. It's not always the case. Sometimes it's just bad decisions. And for me, it was about choices. I made a whole lot of choices in my life that led me on a really terrible road. And you know, Roy, I want to tell you, if you had seen me 19 years ago, you would have thought, this guy looks like a rubbish.
When did it start, Marco? In what age?
I started messing around with weed and dope, you know, from, you know, 12, 13 years old.
And your parents didn't pay attention?
Well, no parent at that, well, my mother, cause I was the last born and I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, the baby of the family.
Yeah.
I think they saw what they wanted to see. Like every parent, you see the best in your children. They don't look for the bad. And so I think there was a sense of denial in their lives. I mean, you know, 13 smoking weed, 14 smoking mandrakes, 15 cocaine. You know, ecstasy, acid, LSD. By 17, I was on crack cocaine, heroin, you name it.
Yeah, but then they knew.
They knew, but, you know, it wasn't something that came easily to them. It wasn't a revelation that they said, listen.
They didn't want to see.
They didn't want to see. And I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm a father of three children now. You look at your children, you think, oh man, they could never do anything wrong, you know? And so there's a sense of blindness that comes with it. But yeah, I mean, so it just gets worse and worse and worse. And eventually you can't hide it from anyone. But what happens is, and a lot of families are dealing with this in this country and everywhere in the world, wherever drugs is that there comes a stigma with addiction. And so families tend to not want to talk about it because, you know, I don't want to admit that my son's a drug addict because is it going to reflect badly on me as a parent?
I'd rather not see it. I know. I'd rather not see it because if I see it,
I need to deal with it.
Yeah, I need to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I mean, it's so nice. It looks like this. Let's not upset the situation. How much money you need, my friend? 100 rands? That's good. 100 rands. Yeah. Not a problem. Just go away.
Yeah.
Go away. Yeah. Is that what happened?
I think also just, you know, constantly, you know, people are there to bail you out when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the pawn shop and you pawn, you know, everything. You know, someone's going to go get it at the end of the day for you because you don't have the money. But I mean, someone's always there to bail you out. But the thing with addiction is that it never gets better. It just gets worse, right? You just go from one degree of badness to the next degree. Suicide attempts. I mean, I've gone through so much, you know, shot, stabbed, you name it. All of that in my life, and nothing changed me. I didn't stop. I went to rehab after rehab after rehab. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. For me, rehab was just that. It was a place where I could go and clean up for a little bit, but I was always planning my next relapse, you know, so. But you'd think that these bad things that happened to you, suicide attempts and that would change your life, that you would become a different person, but it never did. What changed me in the end was tough love, was my parents and my family finally turning their backs on me. They said to me, listen, you know, we've done everything we can. You don't want to change. My mother came to me in hospital. I was in Linksfield Hospital. And she said to me, you know, I wish you, you know, she said to me, you know what I pray for every night? I said, what? She said, I pray that you would die. She said, but you're like a cockroach. You know, nothing kills you.
Yeah.
But you're dead to me now. And that's the day and the moment where I started to realize that I needed to change because I was.
So what you're saying, there's a famous word or saying in English, say, you have to be cruel to be kind.
That's right.
And I think they did it a little bit too late. No, actually not too late. I mean, obviously you're right now, but they did it late.
Yeah.
But you also, should do it. You should do it when the kids are still young. Yeah.
Also think Marco correct me if I'm wrong, that it was the time. Because if she would tell it to you 2 years before, maybe it would pass over your head and you wouldn't care about it because you were too much into this.
Yes.
You understand? So it depends on the time. And this time, you were very vulnerable and you were thinking about a way out or whatever. I think every drug user think about the way out every time is high, thinking about how you don't
want to
do it.
Maybe also sometimes you came to a stage and you look from this cruelty to come from your parents.
Yeah.
You know, you
need something to shake.
You hit the down road and say, listen, and the mother came and she was cool to be kind. She said, listen, you're dead to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I mean, I think you're right. So they call it rock bottom, right? So when you hit rock bottom, the bottom of the barrel, you can't go any lower. I think in that moment, you're open to suggestion and to want to change. And so for me, I'd gotten to the lowest point in my life. And I think at that point, you know, my mother and the family turning their backs on me was the catalyst. But had they been there and just supported me and enabled me even more, I don't know if I would have changed. I probably would have ended up dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a bit of both, but I encourage parents all the time now. I'm like, you've got to deal with this issue head on. Don't avoid it. You know, just deal with it. Take it head on. You know, we've got to, if you pick up signs, if you see that there's issues in your child's life and you know it, don't avoid it because it's not going to get any better. In fact, you're doing a great disservice to your children by not dealing with the issue head on. One day they'll thank you. And I do. I thank my parents today for taking that stance and my family for taking that stance against me, because had they not, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from. Some people take it to the other extreme and make it worse too. I know a couple, good parents. I mean, they look very good, very strict parents, that their son smoked weed when he was like 14, and they sent him to rehab. And in rehab, he learned how to do harder drugs.
Right.
Yeah, he came back very, very bad. So yeah, you have to always like play with those
You know what you're doing. Yeah, it's gonna be.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke. We're playing with the kids' life, and today the kids are exposed to so many kind of attempts on drugs and other stuff, gambling. We've seen. I mean, any addiction it's bad, but not any addiction is bad.
You know, it's the biggest addiction now, according
what is it
in youth. Video games.
Video games.
Yeah.
And social media.
Social media is an addiction, eh?
Yeah.
But social media when you're 8 and 9 years old, you're not on social media, but video games can already take over your life.
You can sleep and think about it. It's amazing. It's actually taking over your life.
Again. When it change your behavior, and when, you tell your son, stop playing the video game, and you see in his mind he's starting running the excuses and why he shouldn't, and that's not normal.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So that's good. Guys, we're talking about drugs, about addictions here at High FM 101.9 at Roy and Friends. We're here with Marco again.
Brocardo.
Marco Brocardo. And there's a funny guy, Dov. He says, can you ask Marco if if I can make lots of money selling drugs? And his other says, what chemicals can I use to start my home drugs lab? Is there a starter kit? For sure.
They're
you can go to the local pool guys, and they will supply you a lot of chemicals that you can start drinking. My friend, let's go for a nice song. This song will be really, really something. I think you're going to like it. It comes from, it is about drugs. And Liel, can you tell us something about Hotel California? What does it mean?
Hotel California, I think it's
a place
song,
you can get in and cannot get out.
It's a song about heroin, yeah. You can start with heroin, but you can never get out of it. Or we got Marco here to change the stigma.
Let me ask you something, Marco. We had somebody that worked with us and died recently. Not recently, like 2-3 years ago,
three years ago.
Of overdose, and we've been exposed to drugs through him, and I'm saying at least I was exposed to drugs through him. Before that, I was really a nice boy. I didn't know what drugs is all about. What drugs are all about, and he told me that when he quit heroin, he had to take special supplements because he could never had fun. He could never like his fun receptors are gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, chemically what happens in your brain is that you trick your brain into producing serotonin and, you know, endorphins in your brain.
In a huge quantity.
Yeah, and so what happens is when you're off the drugs, that's why people that are not taking drugs become depressed, because your brain stops producing it naturally. It's waiting for a stimulus to be able to create the sensation of happiness. And so that's why drugs are addictive, because the more you take it, the more you need to be happy.
That's what you call the down.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll go to Hotel California and let's see. Let's see if you get something out of this song that will make you happy.
If you missed Pawn Stars Unplugged, here's what you missed.
So, you know, a woman throws her husband, and as he's on his way out the door, yeah, she says to him, go away from me, you are a horrible person. And as he's leaving the door, you know, he packs his bag already now, he's busy leaving the door, and as he's walking outside, he says to him, you know, I wish you're going to have a horrible life. I wish you'll never have nothing good in your life. I wish you'll never have sex in your life. She says, do you want me to come back or do you want you to stay? I don't understand now.
When I came home in the evening, my wife said, please, take me to somewhere expensive. So I took her to the petrol station.
Oh, especially now.
That's what,
17 bucks, I think, today, yeah?
Yeah,
he jumped.
It's not that I hate you. It's just that if you were on fire, I'd drink the water.
One of our listeners asked from God, for the new year, I want a thin body and fat bank account. And not like last year that you reversed the two.
Catch Pawn Stars Unplugged, Wednesdays at 6 p.m.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. Peter.
Last night we spoke about the movies and I reviewed Glass.
Yeah.
There was the new M. Night Shyamalan's movie with James McAvoy and Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis. And then I also spoke about a great movie called The Mule with Clint Eastwood, who not only stars in it but has directed it as well. It's based on a true story. Earl Stone is in his 90s and I must say that Clint Eastwood is 88, so he fits the role very well. And it's about this old guy who's a horticulturist whose business has gone in and he needs money. So he becomes a driver for the Mexican drug cartel and he moves drugs from one part of America to the other. And he does very well. He doesn't realize what he's doing because he's a little naive and he doesn't ask any questions because when he meets all these drug dealers, they've got a lot of guns around, so he's very careful. All he wants to do is get in his van and drive and come back. They leave money in the cubbyhole, and he's doing great business. He's estranged from his family. He's not a great father. He's not a great husband. He's divorced from his wife, played by Diane Wiest. His own daughter in real life, Alison Eastwood, plays his daughter in the movie. And I must say, it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. And you know, Clint Eastwood is a veteran, and he always gives you your money's worth. So the question I want to ask our listeners is, who plays the lead role in The Mule? So you can please let us know.
And 061-895, 061-895-1019 or SMS us to 34519. You're most welcome to join our discussion here about drugs. We're here with Marco, and I think that really once, to have you here only once, it will be a crime. So we'll invite you again. Marco lives right now in Austin, Texas. So I think it will be a little bit difficult, but he says he's coming here once every 6 months or so. So we can have him here on our show, yeah.
Roy, I just want to read the T's and C's quickly. It's at New Metro.
Oh, sure.
Vouchers are valid for 2D or 3D movies for regular and VIP cinemas. You know, we've done a special deal with them for Chai FM. Vouchers exclude the Xtreme and the 4DX cinemas, as well as movies in their first week of release. So you can't see The Mule or The Glass this week, but you can go next week. These can only be redeemed at cinema box office. You can't do it online. And it's only at the new Metro Cineplexes. Winners need to present vouchers as complimentary Mobi codes when they're getting their tickets at the cashier. And these vouchers expire within 3 months. Good luck.
Not a big deal, guys. We already got quite a few of them. All right, thank you. Thank you for participating. And we will contact you and giving you the mobile codes. Marco,
yes.
We were talking about Hotel California. Is that the way you felt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, addiction, when I always say to people, you know, it starts off, you take drugs and it's like watching a play. You know, you go to the theater and you watch a play and it looks amazing and everything's great. The lights are on, the effects are on, and, you know, everything just looks good. But you never see what's going on behind the scenes. And when you start taking drugs, you get embedded in the culture and the subculture, and eventually you start selling drugs, you realize that there's a very dark and sinister world behind addiction. Not everyone's happy all the time. Not everyone's having a good time. People are actually very desperate. And I felt for many years of my life that I felt like I was living in Hotel California. I could never get out of it. I felt like
you never looked and forward and say, I can have normal life like normal people.
No.
Go to work in the morning, have a family.
Never. I never thought of that. From the moment I woke up, I managed to fall asleep finally.
Yeah.
To the time I managed to pass out in the evening, my entire day was spent around how do I get more money so that I can take more drugs.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So the drugs drive you to do something. Am I right? I mean, without drugs, many people are not driven. Are not driven to get money, not driven to have food, but to get drugs. I mean, your physical and mentally, you are driven to get money, to get drugs.
That's all you live for.
Yeah. So 20 years ago, I went to an AA meeting. Not because because I used to love going there. Really. I mean, for me, it was like a.
You thought it's the towing company.
No, not that kind of AA. So it was, so I went to a meeting and there was one Indian chap that went up and says, my name is Naidu, whatever. His name and I said Naidu, you know, they give him a cup and I'm a drug addict and say, right. He says, you know what? I'm about 3 months clean. And let me tell you, he said those words. He says, let me tell you, when I was addicted to drugs, when I was doing drugs, I always find money. Now I'm broke. I sit on my heart. I'm broke completely. I don't know what to do. But when he had drugs, he had some sort of a mission. He was on a mission. He was. Is that how you felt at least at the beginning or?
Yeah, I mean, look, it gets harder and harder.
You feel lost without drugs.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you can't live without them. That's your source of happiness. Like I said earlier, you stop being able to be happy without taking drugs.
Yeah.
And so you always make a way. The challenge is when you change your life, the reason why you're broke is because you're not going to do the things that you would have done to get the money before. So generally, you know, when you're an addict, there is no limitation to what you'll do to get money, whether it's robbing, stealing, selling, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, but when you change, you know, you can't do those things. You've got to become a respectable human being again. And so, you know, that motivation has got to convert you. So I started a company after my addiction.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to show the world that addiction could be beaten. And so the same motivation and drive that I had to take drugs and to get money for drugs, I put into a business. And that business now has been been keeping me busy for the last 12 years.
When did you leave to Austin, Texas?
I left 7 months ago, so very recent. I haven't been there for very long. But, it's a new chapter in the business's life. We've expanded globally now. And, yeah, we're hoping that that's where we're going to...
What is the business doing?
We build products for radio stations. So, Chai FM, this very line, those SMS lines and WhatsApp lines that you speak
Colony,
about.
Yeah.
Colony Live is our product.
Just a one remark, that Austin, Texas is much closer to Albuquerque than Joburg. Yeah, so if you want to go breaking beds.
Albuquerque, all right.
Marco, I want to ask you a question, you know?
Yes, sir.
To get into it, to the drugs,
yeah,
it's very easy. To get out of it, it's very difficult. Now, what was the stage? Maybe subconsciously you wanted to get out of it because otherwise you'll never get out of it.
Right.
Now, so what was the point that you really decided, okay, it's enough for me, I want to start something new?
So I think it was that moment of when my parents finally instituted tough love, but you raise a very important point, and this is something that I'm passionate about. People think that addiction is a disease. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is addiction is a choice. Now, I firmly believe addiction is a choice and not a disease because I didn't wake up with a crack pipe in my mouth. I had to go and buy it from the Nigerian or whoever that was selling me the drugs. So it wasn't something that just happened to me like a sickness. And so, you know, when you start making good choices, see, addiction is the product of bad decisions over and over again. But at the same time, the moment you can start making good decisions and putting one good decision after the next, you can overcome it. So, you know, it's about making that choice. The choice is, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. I'm tired of living the life I am, and I'm going to change. No matter what the cost, I'm going to change. So it's about making a decision. You have to decide.
In other words, nobody will do it for you. You must do it by yourself.
At the end of the day, yeah. I believe 100%. At the end of the day, no one will do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. But, what happened to all those rehab centers? What can you say about them? Because there's a lot of bad things people say about the rehab centers. Basically, there are places to make money and not really to help anyone. Is that correct?
I want to, I mean, it's an indictment on our society. The reality is there are some great rehabs out there, there are extreme, let's not mince words. Rehabilitation is expensive and it shouldn't be. But places will charge you 60,000-70,000 rand a month to come clean, only to tell you that you're suffering from a disease and that you'll never become clean. And so the reality is you're going to go back and you're going to go back and you're spending more money than anything else. It's actually more expensive to go to rehab than it is to take drugs. Yeah. And so, I mean, and again, I'm not going to throw the whole system under the bus here, but in my experience, you know, rehabs are extremely expensive and the success rates are extremely low. The reality is that any addict that goes to a mainstream rehabilitation center has got less than 1% chance of coming clean. And so that's great recurring business. You know what I mean? I mean, the truth is you build a business out of it. Now, yeah. There are people that are really interested in helping people, and that's the truth, and there's lots of them out there.
Okay.
But by and large, you know, rehabilitation centers are extremely expensive and a great way to make money.
Sure. Yeah, you know what? You talked about choices in life. Like, you know, you saw a lot of people, I'm sure. I mean, you came from a completely normal family. You had sisters, your brothers, whatever, and you had good parents that loved you and really support you, although they made mistake by supporting you, but they still support you and loved you. Did you see the other side? I'm sure you saw other broken families and,
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had the privilege over the last, you know, 19 years that I've been clean to work with a lot of families. And so, you know, I see it all the time. I see it not only here, I see it in America. So,
sure.
You know, I went to America and I started helping people there that were addicted to drugs and families. And those are the casualties of war. It's the family. It's not the addict. Okay. The addict is he's making a decision. He's putting himself in a position that's going to end up harming himself. But the people that get the hurt the most, the people that really get wrecked in this whole process is the family. And so I've got a heart for families. I've got a heart to tell families that, you know, first of all, talk about it. If you know that your child's on drugs, don't be ashamed of it. It's not an indication or a reflection on you as a parent. Your child made bad decisions. You know, but don't be scared to talk about it. Don't be scared to reach out for help. Don't think that you're a pariah in society because your child made bad choices. But people do that. I mean, my own mother attempted to, she committed suicide. My mother, she attempted to because of my addiction. She was so ashamed of what I had done that she tried to kill herself.
Because it's for a parent. Look, I'm a parent as well. In this kind of reflection of your, what's the opposite of success? A failure. I mean, this is a failure in raising you as a normal, normative kid, you know? So yeah, I would understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
Sometimes your parents. Roy, it's not only the parents, the societies that you're involved in.
Judge you, 100%.
Absolutely. And you get involved, you know what I'm in a society. So the parents, maybe they're very good and they want to help you, but the society, the people they're involved in, they're putting you wrongly on the negative side.
Roy, Marco's done other exceptional things, which I think we should mention. Yeah. He walked in the desert with three guys pulling a cart in the Arabian desert. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I would like you. But before you do that, I've got one question. There's a lot of people that starting using drugs. There's using drugs from childhood, the one side, and the other side is using drugs after success. Mm-hmm. People are successful. They suddenly got an extra pack of money. And what is the next best thing to alcohol?
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Yeah. So they go, they snort a couple of lines and they thought, man, I'm in control. And it's not that expensive. And you know what? Drugs are not expensive. That's a fact. Drugs are not expensive. What is expensive, and I'm just saying it as a headline, is, the choices you make while you're on drugs.
That's right.
That's your, what bring your business down, what bring your family life down, and etc. But overall, drugs are not expensive. Everybody can live with the $200 or $300 or $500 a day bill of drugs. It's okay. You can live with it.
Trust.
But the choices. Hey, yeah. These are horrible choices. So you're talking about you've done some remarkable stuff. You've been you walked through the desert.
Yeah, so I've been passionate about climbing mountains, doing extreme sports, and all of it is to raise awareness about drug abuse and the fact that drug addiction can be beaten.
Yeah.
So I was part of a 3-man team in 2013. We set a world record by crossing the Rubal Khali, which is the Arabian Peninsula, on foot. Nobody had ever crossed it unsupported on foot. They'd done it on camels. They'd done it with cars, but nobody had ever been able to walk across it. So we set out to cross the desert. It took us 40 days. And, you know, that picture, that analogy for me was the same as addiction. when you look at your addiction, you know, standing on the shores of a man, you think, I'm never going to get to the other side. But if you put one foot in front of the other and you make one good choice after the next, one day leads into the next day. And before you know it, you're at the end and you've done it and you've set a world record. And if I could do that and if I could beat addiction, then anybody can.
You know, they say beating addiction, the easiest way to beat addiction is with another addiction. So, and I'm really serious. Like, like if you're addicted to drugs, you can suddenly change. And I've seen people suddenly change and been addicted to sports, for instance. They go to extreme sports, especially.
Right.
Like they need the excitement, they need the extra, and they need the support of people. Say, wow, you're great, you're doing so well. I mean, this is so that's a good turnout. And you're right, I've seen a lot of failure when it comes to your rehab centers. They're really, really not that helpful. So family is number one. You have to be cruel to be kind. That's number two, I think.
Yes.
And that's when it comes to your child. What do you suggest? I mean, you've been a drug dealer too.
Yes.
And what can you tell us about that experience? I mean, I want to talk to you about so many things, and we've got so little time. But
I mean, being a drug dealer was a necessity for me, but it also was because all the drug dealers had money. Well, that's what I thought. They all had money. They're all rich, you know. So I want to be that guy, the one that all the girls want to hang around and all the people want to be friends with. But they're friends with you not because they're lucky. They're friends with you because you've got drugs, right? But the truth
don't you get drugs for free if you're a drug dealer? That's what I always thought.
Yeah, well, so that's a big problem now, because this is the first lesson in being a drug dealer is don't get high on your own supply, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I had the drugs, and eventually I just took all my own drugs, and I owed people money for those drugs. You know, someone's going to come.
So it was just cheaper. That's all.
It was cheaper until they came to my house with guns saying, where's the money? You know, and then I'm like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. It's all gone up in smoke, literally.
Yeah. We also Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. We had a girl that been hijacked by a couple of, I think it was Nigerians, in Hillborough, and a brother came to rescue her. So they came to us to get money to rescue her from, Hillborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kidnapped her, 100%.
Yeah.
Did you see stuff like that as well?
You know, if I had to tell you, I've seen mothers pawn their own children.
Pawn
them. So what I've seen, I've been in, I've
somebody
been in rooms,
tried to pawn his brother. Jim. Yeah, all right.
I've
been
in rooms where mothers have said to the dealers, "Listen, I'm just going to go to the ATM. I'll leave my child here. Give me the drugs. I'm coming back to fetch my child."
And
the dealer, who's like thinking nobody's going to leave their child, they never come back for their kids.
I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not a laughable material.
No.
Guys, we have to say goodbye because, it's 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. And I want to say, first of all, thank you so much, Marco. It's really, really nice, meeting you and seeing you here. And hopefully next time you're back in South Africa, you come to our show again.
Appreciate it.
You are invited. So if you feel like there's a good message that, we want to, someone says it was cocaine not freely and legally available in some countries up until as recently as the 1940s and 50s or 70s. I think it was.
It can be.
And you know, just to remind you that the first drug of choice of headache was heroin in the States in the 1900s. I just want to say thank you for all of you for joining us today. And, that's basically it. What can I say?
Have a great weekend. Good Shabbos.
And Roy, you're going away? And
yeah, Roy.
I'm going away. I won't be here next week. And Liel's going to replace me here at the controls.
They have a good trip.
I want to thank you so much. Yeah, I'm going to be cold.
Well, dress warmly.
Eh?
Dress warmly.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to get... No, I'm not going to say that. All right. Have plenty of a great weekend. Good Shabbos. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. And, keep up the good thing. Keep up sending this message forward. Guys, thank you for being with me. And thank you for listening. Have plenty of fun. Good Shabbos.